First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Now let's go over to another few verses over in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I was supposed to announce too, and I better announce it now, that if there's any problem with getting a parking place as you come night after night, that you can always park over in the, what school is there? School board. Just across a block away. Okay. We were singing at the beginning of the meeting about this gospel. There's been a lot of flyers go out over the, by mail, concerning the gospel. And we have invitations to give out to people to come and hear the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? We might as well start off right at the very beginning to see what the gospel really is. And the gospel is mentioned here. And there's certainly a reason for the gospel. What is the gospel anyway? It's not a creed. It's not a doctrine. It's not a cult. It's not a religion. It's good news. And it's heaven's good news. That's the better part of it. The gospel of the grace of God. And we've read here tonight what the gospel is. The Apostle Paul, the preacher, he's speaking and he's writing to these people in Corinth, and he says, I have delivered unto you the gospel. Then he goes on to explain what the gospel is. I've delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins. Is that good news? Most certainly is. Because every one of us have sinned. Surely, surely nobody would deny that. But mind you, we're living in a day now in a country, yes, in a place where people are putting that away for good. They say, no, there's no such thing. And they're trying to put away from their minds, clear their minds. That's what this new age is all about. Clear your mind of everything that's negative. So that there's no such thing as sin. And there's no such thing as doing wrong. And fill your mind with things that are positive. You can do what you like. You can say what you like. You can go where you like. There's no God to worry about. And so on. That's what we have in the world coming in like a flood in the world today. But when we get back to the Bible, And really, men and women, tonight I want to say, this is the only reliable source of information on spiritual things. For the simple reason, it's God's Word. Of course, people will say, it's not God's Word. Well, what are we going to do? It's a wise man will take the book and start to read it, and what they'll find is that there is absolutely no contradictions in it, although men say they are. There is no lies. There's nothing to disturb the truth of God whatsoever. From Genesis to Revelation, it dovetails together into a perfect book. 66 books compiled together into one book, telling us from the very beginning to the end about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of men. And so, the gospel is a wonderful story. It's a wonderful thing. It tells us about a Christ that died for our sins. The question is, why would Christ have to die for our sins? First of all, who is this person called Christ? And I'm sure there's nobody in the meeting tonight that doesn't know that he is the Son of the Eternal God. He's the one that never had a beginning and will never have an end. He's the one that created all things by the word of his power. And everything that we have in the world today, as well as the universe, it's all his by just speaking the word. And you go back into Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, and over and over and over again, it says, "And God said." And God said, and God said, and everything he said came to pass. Now then, when you keep on going through the scriptures, you'll find that over and over and over again in every book, this person that we're talking about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, is mentioned. And it's always with the idea of foretelling of his coming into the world. And then as you look into the New Testament, you'll find the scriptures there again speaking about him, telling us of the one that came. So the one that was promised, and it's the very first promise in the Bible, Titus 1 and 2 tells us, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the foundation of this earth, this planet of earth, before it was ever laid, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together planned this gospel that we're talking about. See, this isn't just something that sprung up last night. This isn't something that hasn't been tried. This is something that's proved, that has been proved over the centuries. And even myself, I've proved it for 59 years. And I want to tell you something. That more I look into this book, and the longer I go on, and the more I preach it, the more it becomes real to me. And the more I enjoy it, because it's a gospel that can be enjoyed. The gospel is again, let's go back to it. Christ died for our sins. Of course, where I say again, we're living in a country now, in a world now, and a time period when people think, what is sin? In fact, when Mr. Piercy told us that he was talking to a man one time about sin and judgment and so on, and the man looked at him in all stark amazement. He said, Mr. Piercy, what could my wife be guilty of? He says, you better put her in cellophane and put her on the mantle. See, people have an idea that sin is, well, somebody commits murder, that's sin. And the plundering that's going on in the world by some of these dreadful men, that's sin. But my friend, God tells us very plainly, the thought of foolishness is sin. How many thoughts like that cross our mind day after day? This is somebody, I can't help it. No, but we can help going on in that condition. Because Christ died for that. That's the reason he came. That's the reason he died on the cross. Christ died for our sins. And then again, the Bible tells us that for every word that man shall speak, other than yea and nay, is sin. For every idle word. He says, and he brings in the Ten Commandments. You know something? I have I've said I'm going to do it, and I never get at it, but I'm going to get somebody sometime to make me a chart to hang up when we're having gospel meetings. A chart of the Ten Commandments. Because then people will see what God's standard is. And His standard is perfection. And it'll show every one of us that we have sinned. When we look at the Ten Commandments, the very first one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And I want to tell you, there's not a person here, and there's some people here, I've never seen you before, I hope you come back again, and we're glad to see you, but I have to say, unless you're very, very different than me, nobody loves his neighbor like himself. I don't love this man, and I work with him. I don't love him like I love me. And I'm sure he doesn't love me the way he loves him. See what I'm saying? It's in our very warp of woof. We can't help that. That's the way we were born. And so, the Ten Commandments would tell us exactly where we stand in the light of God's eternity. So, if we can keep them then, because we can't keep them. There's no way we can keep them. All the commandments. The very first one we've ever one broken. All of sin, Romans 3:23. So therefore we can keep them. And I want to say as I pass by here, not one single sin will ever be allowed in heaven. I let that soak in. For the simple reason, I think a lot of people have the idea that, well, God is loving and kind, and therefore when it comes to the end of it, He just passes all in. Listen, if He was allowed one sin in heaven, heaven would cease to be heaven. Just like this world. One sin introduced into this world. Look at it today. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. One sin introduced in the Garden of Eden put Adam and Eve outside. And this whole human race was sold down the drain. That's why Christ had to die. Because God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you remember when He put the man and the woman in the garden to dress and to keep it and keep after his place, He said, all these trees you can eat of, but one. And the day thou eatest of that one there, thou shalt surely die. So, in other words, the penalty then for sin is death. That's what it says again in Romans. The wages of sin is death. It's not hard to see that if God has put up this standard that if anyone sins and taken that forbidden fruit, he's going to die. Well, that's the punishment. That's the consequences. And as soon as they took of that forbidden fruit, they died. Oh, but there's something. Wait a minute. They had sons and daughters born with them after that. Yes. But you see, death in the scriptures is threefold. Death spiritually, that's what happened then. The link of harmony was severed between them and God. When in the Garden of Eden He put Adam and Eve, first of all, He had a man, a representative on planet Earth of Himself in heaven. But as soon as they sinned, that link was cut. And now no longer is there fellowship between heaven and earth. Then they're speaking of deaths naturally, physically. That's what happened to them many years afterwards. They died physically. And then there's death eternally. We find in Revelation chapter 20. So death is the punishment for sin. Now then, if we're going to have our sins forgiven, there's somebody that hasn't sinned will have to die. Is that possible? And God would look through this world, and there wasn't a man in this whole planet that doeth good and sinneth not. He says that. Therefore there was nobody to take your place in mine. Well, here's where the gospel comes in. The good news, the grand news from heaven. Christ died for our sins. marvelous, isn't it? It's beyond telling. It's beyond the human language. It's beyond human intelligence to really grasp. And the more I look at it, the more I wonder at it. To think of the God of heaven, who flung those stars out into his space, into his universe, and keeps them there. Put the sun in the sky, that blazing ball, not too close, otherwise we'd burn to a crisp. Not too far away, otherwise we'd freeze to death. But there it is, and we're pummeling around it once a year. And we're tumbling once every 24 hours, and going at speeds like that. Doesn't even knock a bee off a daisy. What a God that keeps this whole thing together. And yet that's the God that looked down through that maze of stars and planets and saw a little bit of cosmic dust called Earth and men and women on it that had transgressed his laws, that broke his commandments. He might well have just done like a person did do with a man. But God so loved the world that he did something. What did he do? He gave his only begotten son into this world. And you know as well as I do, and there's nobody here, I suppose, that would deny the fact, there came into Bethlehem, born in a manger, a babe. Where did that babe come from? That was the Christ that God gave. When you think of an eternity that never had a beginning, and yet there came a time in that eternity when God sent his Son into the world. In Galatians 4:4 it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. What for? What for? I was getting some work done in the airplane back home one time, and after it was all done, I was paying the bill. The engineer behind the desk that we've been working on, he was looking after the bill. And there was a few cents here or there. Oh, he said, we'll never even think about that in 100 years from now. No, I said, David, we won't be thinking about that 100 years from now. But let me ask you, where will you be then? I'll never forget how he just pushed his big chair back, stuck his feet up on the table. He said, you tell me. Well, I said, what do you want me to tell you? Well, he says, where will we be 100 years from now? Well, I said, the Bible plainly declares that there's a heaven and that there's a hell. And every individual will be in one or the other. And it all depends what that person does in this life, whether they're going to be in heaven or not. Well, he says, how do you get ready for that then? How do you get ready for heaven? He's just coming along with more questions. And you know, I started stammering, stuttering for a minute. I thought, well, how will I start this? Where will I begin? And finally, I said to him, because we're right around Christmas, and all the streamers all over the place, you know, for Christmas decorations. I said, why have you got all these decorations? Well, he said, you know it's Christmas time. He said, you're not a heathen, are you? I said, no. Well, I said, but why do you do that? Well, he says, it's Christmas. Well, I said, okay, what's Christmas? Well, he said, you know, he had to stop and think. Well, he says, that's when that one came from heaven. I said, yeah, well, he said, you know, he came into this world. I said, you believe that? He said, yes, I do. Well, I said, okay, I'm going to ask you another question. Why did he come? Well, he said, I guess he came to show us an example how to live. I says, can you live like him? No, and he couldn't either. I knew him too well for that. Well, he says, anything else? Well, he says, I guess he was a good man. Anything else? Well, wasn't he a prophet? I said, yes. Anything else? Well, he said, what else? I said, man, you missed the whole thing. He came into the world for one purpose, not for you to celebrate Christmas, although that's good that he came into the world, but his birth is not the big thing. He had to be born, that's true, in order to do what he came for, but his work in coming in and his purpose in coming into this world was to die on a cross of Calvary. Oh yeah, he says, I heard that too. Well, I said, you know why? I said, no, I don't know why he'd have to die. I said, I suppose all men have to die. I said, yeah, no, but that's not the point. He gave up his life. Voluntarily. He gave his life. I said, you tell me then, why did he do it? He said, he died in my room instead. He took my sins upon him. He bore the judgment I should have borne in the depths of hell. And therefore, now I'm safe from hell because he took my place. Oh. So about 3 years later, he called me up and told me, he says, you know, I've taken that message in. My friend in this meeting tonight, as I sit down, we're glad you're here. We hope you'll come back. But above all, stop and think about this most important question in your life. And it's this. What am I going to do with the person that died for our sins? Because that's what God is waiting for, to see what you will do. And if you will receive him, to then what you will do with him. And if you will receive him, to them give ye power, John 1:12, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Let me quote the verse again. I didn't get very far with it, but the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. It's all forecasted all the way through here. The time came when it happened. Now we look back and we see it has happened. You know, the Old Testament people had more faith than you and me? Because they were looking forward to one that was coming to die for their sins? Could it be that he might not come? No. Hebrews 11 tells us they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but were persuaded that what God had promised to them was going to happen. And now we look back, we know it has happened, don't we? We know he was buried, and we know he did rise from the dead, and we know he's in heaven tonight. Now then, the point is this. For the person in this meeting that knows that they're a sinner, I want to tell you there's a Savior for you. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again, according to the Scriptures.